Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Glad to have you this beautiful Friday morning. And we've got something that I just found that is an exciting thing that I didn't know anything about, you know, and I've got to share stuff when I find out about it, so wanted you all to know. Today there is a new exhibit at a gallery that I didn't know anything about, and it's about Marian Anderson. And so I wanted you all to know about it, so when you're planning your vacation time, you might want to go up to the Smithsonian and check out the National Portrait Gallery and look at the new exhibit of Marian Anderson, but there's some others as well. And Dr. Leslie Urania is the curator there, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on there. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. I'm well. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us on the show, for me on the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. So I know you're very busy getting ready for this opening. So can you tell us a little bit about the exhibit, and then can you tell us a little bit about the gallery?
Sure, of course, I'd be happy to. Well, the National Portrait Gallery, we have a series of exhibitions called One Life, and this is one of these exhibitions. And I'm focusing on the work of Marian Anderson, who is an African-American contralto who was born in Philadelphia in 1897. And she is, at least to me, when I started planning this exhibition, what she was most well-known to me was for being rejected by the Daughters of the American Revolution so that she can sing there in 1939, and Eleanor Roosevelt's involvement in getting her to perform at the Lincoln Memorial. As I started doing research on her life, I started realizing that it was not just the DAR, that she had also been rejected by the Board of Education because of segregation rules here in D.C., and that her life was actually quite lengthy, and also that there were many moments throughout her career that were really important to the civil rights movement, because as she, whether it was through her schooling or as she, traveled around Europe and performed on the great stages in Europe or in the United States and Latin America and Asia, she was, breaking barriers a little bit along the way. So I want the exhibition looks beyond 1939, kind of shifts her focus to other aspects of her life and career, including, her childhood in Philadelphia. There's a small section on her life and career in Europe, where she spends some time going back and forth starting in 1928. Then there's a section on 1939. And also I wanted to look at the way that she as a performer also influenced other artists. So we have not only do we have a lot of photographs, but we also have paintings by Buford Delaney and William H. Johnson that really look at her as an icon, as a figure, as a symbol, and take her figure as an inspiration for their own art and kind of really memorialize her in beautiful, beautiful ways. And then also, but I also wanted to kind of give us a sense of what other parts of her career through archival materials and photographs, like from her 1955 performance at the Metropolitan Opera, when she was investigated by the FBI because President Eisenhower nominated her for as a UN alternate delegate. And then later in life, after her retirement in 1965, like what did she do after that. So the exhibition is a combination of photographs, a lot of them that Anderson owned herself, some mm-hmm. other artworks, and then also we have a video kiosk that an audio kiosk where we have examples of her performing, where people can kind of click on it and also listen to her singing, which is really what it was all about.
I was going to ask you about that. That is great. because there's not a lot, you don't hear a lot about her now, you know, because it's been a while, and you've got a whole generation that might not even know who she is and what kind of impact she had. And it's really kind of embarrassing and a shame a little bit that a lot of our African-American artists had to go to Europe to get established, to become known and to be accepted back in the United States. And then even still coming back to the United States, not necessarily getting the accolades that they deserve, you know, but at least we're able, you know, for some of these artists to go back and we can acknowledge them and make sure that they're part of our collective history in the future. So that's very, very good.
Yeah. No, thank you. And thanks for bringing that up. That was, you know, as I mentioned in researching Anderson, it was really, you know, 1939 was this date that everyone has. But it was amazing to find out, you know, like how popular she was in Europe. I mean, her tour of Scandinavia was incredibly popular. She traveled, you know, like dozens and dozens of concerts, you know, in Denmark and in Finland and in other countries. And she traveled to Russia. She traveled, you know, she also traveled throughout Latin America. She went to Brazil. She went to Colombia. So it's just amazing that by 1939 she was so popular, and that in fact the whole point of she got to that stage in the first place because of her incredible popularity before that point.
Wow. So now you have some other dynamic figures in the gallery, and like I said, tell us a little bit more about the gallery. How long has this gallery been in existence?
Yes, so we celebrated our 50th anniversary last year, so we're 50 and a little bit, so just almost 51 years. And the museum was established by Congress as a repository of portraits of great, you know, Americans who have made a significant impact on the United States history, people, and culture. So we have a vast collection of presidential portraits and a complete set, more or less. We do have a complete set of all presidents, of all former presidents, and that is really kind of at the core of our collection. But we also have a large collection of photographs. Now, I'm in the photographs department. I'm one of the two curators there. And we, in that collection, we have over 5,400 negatives from Matthew Brady's studio during the Civil War period. And we have, 5,000 plus other photographs depicting Americans and or people who have had a significant contribution to the United States, from starting in the 19th century to the present, and so do other departments. So our collection is, it's a museum that is of art, history, and biography. So we have all of our labels are biographical, and we do include some information on the art, but it's really kind of introducing. To me, it's like I get to meet new people almost every day I walk through the galleries by getting to read about their lives and kind of really researching what their impact has been. So it's really, we share the building with the American Art Museum. So we're in D.C.'s Chinatown, and we're actually open late. So we open at 11:30 and close at 7 p.m. So it's one of the only museums in the city that stays open late till every day. The collection is growing. We also have a performance art series that is looking at ways of how do we address what absences in our collection. We have a series of rotating special exhibitions in addition to One Life. We have a show called Eye to Eye, which is about self-portraits, and that draws solely from our collection, mostly from our collection, except for maybe one or two loans. There's a photo show called In Mid-Sentence, which is also just drawn from our collection. And we also have an international gallery called Portraits of the World. And this year's, we bring a portrait from abroad. So this year it's Korea. And then we set it up against works in our own collection to kind of do a comparison. And on our first floor, we also have a special exhibition on the suffragist movement. So it's called Votes for Women, and that is up through January of 2020. So there's a lot going on in the museum right now. So.
Yeah, I noticed the was it Women of Progress, the early camera portraits.
Oh, yes. Yes, I forgot. That just opened. Yes. So we have we have this great I didn't curate it, so sorry. I apologize.
That's
it's
okay.
Called it's called Women of Progress, and it's we have photographs in the collection dating to the 19th century. So this is solely daguerreotypes from our collection. And it's really a grouping of women who are really significant to American history, and really kind of finding ways to connect the way that portraiture was also sort of linked to the way that women were kind of gaining more political power, or trying to gain more political power in the 19th century, or cultural power. So it's really a nice way of kind of my colleague Anne Schumart of bringing together sort of the theme of women in our collection, and how we can sort of assess that through these portraits.
Who are some of the women that are a part of this collection?
Of the just the daguerreotype collection, or of
the portraits
of the portrait gallery more in general?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Marian Anderson, of course. We have
right.
Angela Davis, Dolores Huerta. We have the first lady, so we have Michelle Obama. And we have. Right now in our recent acquisitions corridor, which we switch every fall, we have the human performer Celia Cruz up right now, and the dancer Pauline Kohner. So it's really, we have a lot of women in the collection. We'd like to have more, but it's we have Gloria Steinem, we have, I'm going through the gallery in my head and seeing what's actually on view right now. But it's quite a varied collection. But we're always working to bring in more figures who have had an influence on American history. And we're always looking for more. So it's always nice to be able to kind of keep on doing the research and finding more along the way. We also have a portrait of Beyonce up right now, which is a fun one. That's just a smattering of the collection.
So I was going to ask you, how is the gallery funded? Is it through public funds, private funds? How is it funded? And also, who does all of the gathering of all of these portraits?
Well, the gallery is funded mostly through, it's through federal funds. And we
mm-hmm.
are one of the few federal institutions that has a small acquisitions budget, a modest acquisitions budget that is federally funded. We also draw on donations, whether monetary or of art, in order to continue with whether for exhibitions or whatnot. But the bulk of the core of our funding is federal. And in terms of how we build our collections, we have a curatorial department that the curators we seek out portraits. We do a lot of research to kind of see what we'd like to, what could add another story to our collection. And we also have a history department that works with us to kind of go through the biographical information for the people we are proposing for acquisition. So it's depends, as I mentioned, it's both through purchases, through donations. So it's really, sometimes things happen by chance. That's something kind of comes to your doorstep. Others we seek out through for purchases, whether at auction or at galleries, or in other ways like that. So, and in terms of keeping the collection and making sure it stays safe, we
mm-hmm.
have a lot of people who do that. So the curators, we're in charge of, cataloging and ensuring that the information on our website is correct for each of the works, and bringing the works in and proposing them and writing part of the forms that explain to our board why this particular portrait should be part of our collection. But we have tons of other colleagues who work on everything from shipping and processing payments and conserving the works and framing the works. So it's a collaborative process throughout, but and So it's the great stuff. And plus we also have the interpretive side of it as well, where we have, we work with our colleagues in education and public programming, as well for tours and, you know, working with docents and volunteers and interns. So it's a lot of people involved.
So now this exhibit, as well as the one that we talked about the women's portraits, these mm-hmm. are temporary exhibits. This runs, yes. my understanding, through May 2020.
Yes.
Are all of your exhibits temporary, or do you have any exhibits that are standing exhibits?
We have standing exhibits. So we have the permanent collection includes the galleries, the America's President's galleries, which goes from George Washington up to Obama, and includes everything from paintings and drawings, and we don't have any video art and photographs as part of the presidential portraits to display their careers. And we also have a permanent collection that starts around 1600 with portraits starting then, and it kind of flows all the way up through, you know, 2017, if we can fit it in. So it's on our first floor is where we have, starting off with in 1600 up to 1900. And then the second floor has America's presidents. And when you go to the third floor, it's the continuation of the 20th century. So it starts in 1900 through the present day. And we also have this recent acquisitions corridor, which is semi-permanent. They're all permanent collection works, but they rotate once a year. So they're part of the collection, but they rotate once a year.
Okay. And what happens to the artifacts that are collected once the exhibit is over?
Well, for Marian Anderson, for instance, where there are a lot of wonderful loans, including from the University of Pennsylvania and the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts and other institutions, the ones on loan will go back to their home institutions. We have also two works in our collection that are part of the show, so we keep them in storage, and we follow conservation rules regarding storage. So we have, you know, a photograph or a work on paper is very light sensitive. So we don't keep them out. You know, we put them safely away in climate controlled storage until the next time that they can come out and be shown to the public. We're always open to researchers. So if something is not on view, we welcome researchers to come, you know, contact us if they'd like to set up an appointment. The paintings, you know, we also rotate the paintings. So we have storage facilities where when they're not on view, they're stored away somewhere in one of the Smithsonian storage facilities.
Okay. So what I wanted to ask, too, do you have student groups or tour groups that come through that you? I'm sure, you know, when school's in session, do you have, like, field trips for students
yes.
to come in?
Oh, we have a lot of field trips, yes. We definitely do. And it's only – so the museum opens, like, 11:30, as I mentioned, and sometimes the tour groups come before 11:30, and we have this wonderful courtyard that's covered with glass. It was – the museum closed for renovation in 2000 and reopened in 2006, and during that time period, there was an open courtyard for the building, and then there was – a glass ceiling that was put in. So it gives you a sense of still being outside, but you're actually covered and you can be there in winter and the heat of the summer, like today, which is 95 degrees or so. And when you're there, like, you know, 11:20 and like the, you know, if there are no groups and it's very quiet and peaceful. And then the school groups come in around, you know, some of them are around 11:30. It's just like the whole building comes alive. It's pretty impressive. I've been there during that time, and it's just nice to see the building actually coming alive with all the people coming in. So we do have a lot of school groups. We have tour groups coming from everywhere, more or less, to come and see our portraits and our exhibitions. We also do a lot of public programs with teens, and, you know, we have tours on weekends for special exhibitions. Our docents give tours of the permanent collection and of the special exhibitions on a daily basis. So we have a lot of programming, and we do welcome a lot of school groups.
So I hope
you can come.
No, I mean, now I'm really ready to make a like plans. I have not been to the Smithsonian in ages. since I was a kid, to be honest. So I'm due for a long overdue for a trip back up there, because I know a lot of stuff has changed, but I've always found the Smithsonian to be fascinating, and just so much, it's kind of hard to take it all in, even if you plan it for a
week.
You need several days,
in fact, yeah, there's a lot, and very comfortable shoes.
yes, and pack lunch or something.
Exactly, yeah. We have a cafeteria. I mean, we have a cafe, so it's okay.
Okay. But in addition to Ms. Anderson's exhibit that starts tomorrow, you have some other things. You have an architect, and I can't pronounce his name. I am Pei, yes.
Right. Well, I think that he's no longer on view. We have a wall that's an in memoriam wall, so when people pass away, if we have it in the collection, you know, there are lots of different how we can get it to the wall, but we have an in memoriam wall where we are able to in some instances put up a portrait of someone to, you know, commemorate their passing, and this wall becomes quite the gathering ground for people to come and really pay their respects. So we had Aretha Franklin, we had John McCain, we recently had Leah Chase, so it's really Leah Chase was up. That's why I said I am Pace no longer up. I think. So Leah Chase went up after that. So it's really just a place where, you know, we have a booklet that people can write, you know, if they want to write any notes or memories about the person. In some cases, people leave flowers. So it's really a kind of gathering place for people to really come together and, you know, in the absence of being able to go to a memorial service or or to where the person may be buried, it's really a nice gathering place for people to come and sort of talk about the person that has just passed away and their importance to them. So you sometimes the notebook kind of gives you a sense of, you know, oh, this person has, you know, my first song I heard was by this person, or, you know, it's very personal and really really touching to have that.
So how far in advance are these collections planned? Are these exhibits planned?
We plan our exhibits pretty far in advance. Some as far ahead as 5 years. 5 years. I started at the Portrait Gallery in 2016. So I proposed the Marian Anderson show that summer of 2016. So this one took 3 years. But it depends sometimes on the scale of the exhibition and also where in the building it will go and how many lungs we have. So as far in advance as possible is what we like to say. So, you know, I started doing my research, you know, 3 years ago and traveling to go see works at that point. Some colleagues start 5 years in advance for bigger shows. So it's really, they take a while sometimes.
Yeah, because I was going to say with this, I'm sure this took quite a while and a lot of research. But to manage to put together a tribute to Leah Chase also couldn't have taken it as long, but probably took a lot of intense, you know, gathering and research, you know.
Right. So in her case, we had her work in the collection. So, you know, that's why it would be in memoriam. If things are in the collection, that's great. You know, and in terms of acquisition, sometimes it takes a long time from the time you start working on an acquisition to the time it actually comes into the collection. And sometimes it moves, you know, within a few months. So it depends. It all kind of depends on what the project is. But the in memoriam wall does move fairly quickly. I mean, it's a rapid response team to some extent. It's like, you know, we've put up people, you know, sometimes, you know, by the next morning kind of thing. So it's really incredible. Amazing that our colleagues can move that quickly to get some of the works up so soon.
Right. Do you take any type of proposals or consider any type of proposals from the general public, and how are they vetted?
Proposals for what specifically?
For
exhibitions?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we have an exhibitions program that, you know, we vet such proposals. Since I've been there, a lot of the exhibitions have been sort of generated from within the Portrait Gallery. We do have one coming up that's from another museum. So, you know, proposals would need to go through, a vetting with the exhibitions departments and whatnot. But they tend to be, part of the collection is part of it in to some degree.
Okay. That's good to know. That's interesting because I have an idea, but I was just curious about that. So how can the public support the gallery?
By coming to us. Coming to visit, that's the first thing.
Obviously, put it on your vacation schedule for sure.
Put it on your travel schedule. Make sure to come in the building. We have attending our programs. We have a lot of material that's also online. So in a way, sometimes it's great to have, whether it's commenting on something online or whatnot. So there are many ways of supporting the gallery, but I think coming to the gallery if possible is the best. And then I guess if you can't come, going online and checking out our programming and letting other people know what's up and what's happening. They're in DC.
Again,
we also have traveling. Sorry.
I know you guys have a newsletter too that people can,
yes,
can sign up for and get information.
Right. And we also have some exhibitions that do travel. Sorry, I forgot to mention that, and I don't know if it was. We have one of our exhibitions titled Blackout is traveling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our portrait competition that comes up this fall, I believe, will be traveling as well. So the portrait gallery is outside of D.C. in some ways as well through our traveling exhibitions program. And the Eye to Eye exhibition will also be traveling. So we have, there's something on our website that sort of tells you where things are going if they're traveling. And I can't remember where Blackout is right now at the moment, but I can look that up real quick and let you know. So the traveling exhibitions, Blackout is currently at the Mississippi Museum of Art. And then we have a few other exhibitions that were traveling and are now no longer traveling, that have come back home in a way.
So how can people get more information on the Marian Anderson exhibit and also on the gallery?
Best place to go is to our website, mpg.si.edu, and that would be a good place to start. And for Marian Anderson, we have a specific section there that is related to the exhibition and then to works that are listed there as well. So you can kind of see what the what some of the works are in the exhibition that are included in there. And it turns out that it's kind of kismet for this exhibition. We also have a Smithsonian Wide Initiative, which is the because of her story. So, and also the Smithsonian Year of Music. So there are other Smithsonian initiatives that are part of this, that Marian Anderson fits into, as well as our portrait gallery scheduling.
Well, I'm glad you were able to take some time. And I know you're actually on vacation right now, aren't you?
I'm never really on vacation, I guess.
I know there's some jobs, there's no such thing, unfortunately.
It's very exciting to be part of, to have these exhibitions go up and to, share the information about Marian Anderson and really her wide-ranging impact on American history, not just on classical music, but on the civil rights movement, on how we look at the history of segregation, how we kind of consider how one specific figure not only can have an impact on so many different parts of our lives, but, how we sometimes don't even know about it until you kind of dig into it a little deeper. Or a lot
Dr. Leslie Uranian. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and best wishes on the success of this exhibit today.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you for your interest, and I hope we get to see you and anyone else and your listeners at the gallery.
Definitely looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Have a blessed day now.
Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Princess Cooper and I will be chatting up a storm, so you know how we are. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.